Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy tickets online? Most sites make it complicated and then try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. That's why you need to try SeatGeek at SeatGeek.com. Get the app today on your smartphone. Today's episode also brought to you by Doghouse Systems at DoghouseSystems.com. Use the code FROGPANTS and get a big old SSD drive for free. Details at DoghouseSystems.com. The best gaming rig you can buy. That's DoghouseSystems.com and the checkout code FROGPANTS.
Warcraft, classificada PG-13. You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 447. My name is Scott Johnson. It is Sunday, May 15th, 2016. And joining me today, all the way from Japan, the Isle of Japan, one Patrick Beja. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, man, we've missed having you on, dude.
I've missed being on.
You missed?
You know what?
We were speaking some new crazy language. What is Japan doing?
We were joking earlier that I'm in the future, and you were saying that when the world ends, I'll know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to worry you guys, but it's looking pretty grim.
Oh, no.
Just get ready.
Well, I'm you're still saying. There. You've got Wi-Fi. Everything's fine for now. Everybody
for
calm
now,
down.
I think by the looks of it, it's going to be fine until the end of the show. After that, I don't know, but the most important thing will be done.
All right. Well, good. Also with us from Texas, where you are an hour ahead. You'll know an hour before me what's going on in the future. It's Willie Dills Gregory. Hey, man.
So in Japan, they make everything smaller. And here in Texas, everything is as big as they can possibly make it.
That's right.
So we're just living in opposite lands, Patrick. It's fine. But it's good to have you here, the yin to my Texas yang.
That's right.
Right. I love it. Yeah.
So,
actually, you know, I've really missed the show. I was listening to
and
the
yen
shows.
Is spelled Y-E-N, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's a form of money.
I was listening to the shows and I was like, oh my God, I want to be on the show and say, but you know, for the past couple of shows, I think you've said everything that I would have liked to say. So it was weirdly satisfying, but also frustrating experience at the same time.
I know how that goes. But, you know, I was trying to channel my inner Patrick. That's what I was doing. And I'm glad that I did you justice, sir.
Well, excellent job.
We did miss you being
Yeah,
here.
We did miss you a lot. And
Garrett's kind of good looking, but
he's
you know.
All right. He's all right. He's got that blue streak sometimes, but he's no suave Frenchman.
Fabulous hair, that Garrett dude.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Our English speaking, French, Japanese visiting, Lebanese blooded man is back, and so we're good to have good to have you back.
Thank you,
Patrick. Before we go too far, though, you're in Japan. It would be dumb for us not to at least ask: have you eaten anything super weird that you can tell us about on the air? Because I love hearing about Japanese weird food. Like they got black burger buns and like psycho versions of Big Macs and stuff. I'm talking about like when they take something that we over here think is some traditional fast food or something, then they just jack it up. So what do you got over there? Or have you been real traditional and just eating a lot of noodles and stuff?
No, well, you know, I'm eating. There's this supermarket next to the place I'm staying in, which has they do their own stuff every day and they have amazing tempura and stuff like that that I go get every lunch. So that's been amazing. But really weird stuff, honestly, I don't know that there's been so much. I guess sesame ice cream might be one of the things that would surprise you. That was really nice.
Sesame ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like
they have lots of different weird kinds of ice cream. Like I've seen, not this strip, but I've seen in the past, like cheese ice cream, like camembert ice cream. Mm-hmm. Which was, you know, it hurt my French sensitivities, that kind of thing. I've been eating Japanese beef, which is really nice. I don't usually like meat, which is going to hurt Dill's Texas ears, but I don't usually love meat. But the Japanese beef is pretty good, even not the super expensive one. It's
It's the Kobe, yeah. right? Is that the...
Yeah, is it all Kobe, yeah, so or no?
The Kobe beef is like the super expensive one, the one that's like... So for those who don't know, they actually massage the beef and feed them beer so that
nothing is weird in Japan. We should just preface like anything you do there. Yeah. Everyone's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Patrick's no stranger. You know, why not? And Patrick's no stranger to massaging the beef. It's fine.
That just took a weird turn.
I couldn't help it.
Anytime Scott says something that sounded innocent before, all of a sudden it becomes weird.
That's right.
But yeah, the Kobe beef is the super expensive one. The one I've had is just regular Japanese beef, which is a little bit more, it has more fat in it. So it's when you cook it, it becomes more tender and delicious. Tender, yes. So Japan is amazing. I love it.
Yeah, you do love it. And you're coming on what, June? Is that right?
Coming back in June, specifically to be able to cover E3 with you, Scott, at a reasonable hour. So I don't have to be awake like in the full middle of the night every night.
Wow, you're coming home just for that. Wow, that's awesome, man. Well, I'm honored that we'll have that chance with your jet-lagged ass when you get home. But anyway, it's good to have you here. It's good to have you both here. Let's real quick here. Terpstar, I talked to him over the weekend. He was in Los Angeles all weekend. And was there with his crew from the Augs cast, and they were doing some filmy stuff. And I guess they got to hang out with Duncan Jones a bit and spend some time with a couple of the actors, Krasinski and a few others. And it sounds like a really good time. I'm really anxious to see what the footage ends up looking like from that. But he also got to see the Warcraft movie well ahead of release, a month ahead of the U.S. Showing of the film, and about 2.5-3 weeks ahead of when Europe gets it. I will say this for the folks who haven't heard us talk in pre-show. He gave me his opinion of the film. He didn't tell me a single detail about it because he can't. He is NDA'd up the wazoo on that. But he did tell me what he thought of it, and I have promised not to say a word. He may have hated it. He may have loved it. He may have sort of found somewhere in between. You're never going to know at home because I'm not telling until he does. So take that. Oh, and if you live in the Salt Lake area or anywhere around here, or you live in Idaho or somewhere that wants to drive out here, June 11th, I'm renting out a movie theater for people to come see the film when it launches here in the U.S., that's the opening weekend for us. And if you want to come and see the likes of myself, Tom Merritt, Brian Ibbett, and a bunch of others, you certainly can. If you want to go head over to frogpants.com/Warcraft, there are still some available. It's been up for about a week, and they are going quick. So if you want to come, go sign up for your tickets now. All right. Time for the news. All right. So a lot happened in World of Warcraft since we last spoke. Actually, there was a huge developer podcasty Jesse Cox video thing, which we're going to break down some of it here in a minute and talk about some of the stuff that Watcher Dev, a.k.a. Ian Hazard Costicus, talked about. Mm-hmm. The beta has since launched and is no longer an alpha. It is a beta. It was a character wipe. There's all sorts of things to say about that in terms of what new content was added. But it's about what you think. It's a, you know, a much closer to finished version of the game, and a bunch of people are playing it, and you cannot currently copy your characters over there, so don't get too excited just yet if that was your plan. This is more, I guess, about... this is either them not having the ability to do that technically yet on this build, or they're encouraging as many people as possible to have people do the initial questy stuff for the boosted... what do you call them? The freaking... What are they called? Demon Hunters. And other stuff like that. So that's what we know about the beta, but that's out there. So get it if you want to get into it. And I guess they have to be by invite, so don't get into it if you don't have an invite. if you get an invite, you already know. And if you don't get an invite, so, sorry, I guess you're not getting in. I have not gotten an invite, but I assume my alpha thing carries over. I haven't checked.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Are you?
I mean, it did for me. I don't know if I got an invite or if it was just carried over, but I'm in the beta.
Okay. Did you get in? Did you mess around with it a bit or what? What have you done?
Yeah. I did actually, and I just want to say a couple of words about the thing they did with Jesse Cox and Ian Hazikoskus Testus. this terrible. You're contaminating me with this silliness. I think it's awesome that we've been complaining on the show, at least I have, that they haven't been very open about the communication about the game, and there would have been lots of stuff, I think, that they could have, you know, made little developer update videos about. They have been doing for the last 6 months of 2015 class updates with lots of details about the talents and the rethinking of the philosophy of each class and each talent tree and all of this. It would have been awesome. Anyway, I think Ian is perfect for this kind of thing. He's like just the right amount of nerdy and super knowledgeable about everything about the game, and he's fun at the same time. I think he's an excellent spokesperson, and I hope that they use him more in the future, in the next few months, going towards the launch of the game, because that's exactly the kind of communication we need.
Well, and, so, we've said a bunch of times on the show that we've had very little of it. Dills, you think he's the right mouthpiece? You know, he's, I don't know if anyone out there is Greg Street necessarily, but it seems like after a long quiet, it was nice to finally hear something meaty out of somebody.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I've been staying somewhat away from alpha and beta stuff. I did download the beta. I did jump in. But it's tough for me. Like, I want to know, but I want to know just kind of some peripheral things and just some information about, and if I want to delve deeper, then I delve deeper. I thought that was a pretty good video. It didn't, nothing really felt like I was getting information I didn't really want to have. Mm-hmm. And it was all really cool stuff. It was just, everything was really hyping me up to get back in. All the things that I think the people have been complaining about all seem to be addressed. That the game is, they're kind of moving in the direction that the fans kind of want the game to move in, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, get back out into the world, do all the stuff that we weren't doing in Warlords. And I like that there was a lot of talk about that. It was a really fun video to watch. And I thought Jesse Cox did a great job, too, because he's just always excited.
Oh, no, that guy is
he's a good interviewer.
He's all excitement. He's like 98% excitement and 2% beard. That's pretty much him.
But no, it felt like they were addressing some of the feedback that they've been getting from the community for the past two or three expansions, right?
Yeah.
And of course, we were super excited about Garrisons, and then later on, we were like, oh, that wasn't maybe the greatest thing that ever happened. Right. So I understand that they had to address the whole order hall thing.
Sure. They spent a lot of time on that, too.
Yeah, because it feels very much like, yo, you remember that Garrison thing? What about, now you're giving us a new version of that? Yeah. I don't know if that's a good idea, but they very clearly separated the two.
So there's
a lot of stuff, like, I mean, I guess we can get into the details. I want to talk about my relationship with the game in general, but the order hole specifically, for example, what Ian has been saying is we're very aware of the issues of Garrisons, and the order holes are there to get you to get out into the world, like, as opposed to what the Garrisons were doing, which was removing you from the world. Mm-hmm. And an example he gave was you can send out your, you know, followers from the class hole. I guess they're not called followers anymore, but you can send out them out into missions, and they're not going to be bringing you back loot. They're going to be bringing you back basically a buff that will give you more loot or guaranteed loot when you go out and do a dungeon and kill a specific boss. So it's like a contract or something like that. So this is very clever game design to actually use the fun of that idea of your team to get you to play the game and not just to click on buttons to, you know, get loot by the lottery ticket. Yeah. Or
well, they've retained the sense that order halls or garrisons. One nice thing about garrisons was you felt like you had a home base. You felt like you had a place, origin, right? Where you could branch out and do whatever you had to do. The problem is it was, for the most part, a very solitary experience and became kind of grindy for a lot of players. The way that he described class halls and the way I had understood them leading up to this and things they said at BlizzCon, and even more confirmed now from that interview, they're more like a base of operations, but that base of operations goes out into the world in a way that is not garrison-like at all. It isn't just a bunch of sort of fakery happening behind the scenes or just the feeling that you're in charge of a place, but really you're playing together alone. You're going to that place to upgrade and work on your artifact and everything else, and then you're going out into the world and it's sending you to do that. Like, if anything, this feels like it is an evolution of garrisons, but absolutely in the direction that I was hoping it would go, based on what he said.
They had some cool stuff in garrisons that did force you to go out into the world, you know, to go basically like invade an area and stuff. And at first it felt like this was kind of, okay, this is where we come back to, but we still go out. But then now this makes crafting easier. That is how it all felt early on. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you just stopped doing that stuff. There was no real reason to grind for crystals anymore. The invasions, you know, people coming into your garrison and all that was really fun, just kind of stopped being a thing after a while that anybody cared about. So it's like it just needs to stay part of the storyline and continue to be pushing what your character is doing rather than just being a place where I log in and I run around for 20 minutes and then I leave, you know, which is what Garrison's ended up becoming. So as long as and it sounds to me like a lot of what you're going to get in the order halls is going to be just pushing the story. Mm-hmm. I was talking about this with someone, I can't remember who I was talking about, but it would be awesome if the Garrison quest, if you went in and you sent out your followers, but rather than them coming back with they essentially went off and raided for you and then came back with a box with a piece of loot. Like, you know, it got kind of weird. But what if you sent your followers out and then they were like, Dills, help, I'm here. And then you now you got to go out there. And now it's a quest to go there and get that item that you sent them out to get.
Yeah.
But you need to go. Like, there could have been really cool stuff with it that could have sent you out into the world. But
yeah,
it just that's not how it was ultimately designed. So
I think that's really the way they're going with the order holes. It seems at least that they seem to be very aware that you need to get people out into the world. And yes. I don't think we're going to see, you know, there might be some of those where they bring you back something, but not nearly to the extent that it was in Garrison's.
Well, and it also mm-hmm. sounds like one of the things I said is at max level, there is a world quest system with a fixed state. We knew about this before, but they went a little more deep into it. A fixed state for everyone in your region so that you can all quest together. So some of that stuff that you'll be the class halls are going to notify you about, that you're going to go there to meet people to talk about or whatever, both fictitiously and for real, are going to send you out on actual missions to do with each other. Some of these last a couple of hours. These daily quests can last days. These world quests are not your typical go knock it out and come back tomorrow and do the exact same thing and come back tomorrow and do the Quel'Thalas thing. They're talking about stuff that will vary, but you know, it's going to pop and feel a little bit more dynamic and less of there's a question mark. I got to go do the thing for that panda. I'll be back in a half an hour. Done. Like the fact that they're addressing all of that is very interesting to me because it is one of the things I liked about my Garrison at first was I felt like I was doing a lot of diverse things and they were cool and they were different from what I'd done in the past with dailies. But then very quickly you started to see that pattern and you fall into the same rut. So it's impossible to say at this point whether that will also have a rut at the end of it. But at the very least, the way they're describing it, it sounds like they're trying to avoid that. And I think that's good.
Yeah. I think that they're doing a lot of clever things with this world quest system. Obviously, there's no amount of game content that is going to be so plentiful that you're not going to get into a pattern, right? Mm-hmm. Even with they can create 100 or 200 quests specifically for this system. And after a while, you will know all of them and it will become a little bit automatic. I think that's unavoidable. But they are doing things like there are lots of different, size of quests. I guess some of them are just come every 4 hours and it gives you a little bit of gold or a little bit of resource. But some of them are once a week. And when I say once a week, they last a week. Mm. So those big ones are going to be easy to get to. And you can have three of them that stack up. If you don't come and do every day the world quests, it's going to be easier to play every once in a while and just have a bigger adventure when you do. There are a lot of things that, and again, that feeling of it's not your personal quest, but the entire server for the purposes of what matters to you, server, or even as you were saying, region, people can discuss it outside the game. And it brings people together. It makes it for a more social and easier way to manage things. It's looking good. I'm really liking it.
Yeah. And the rewards for world quests that'll be around for a few days are intrinsically more rewarding. You're going to get more stuff for doing that. Which is good. Outdoor world quests will have a point and story they wanted to make clear, unlike the very little context for Warlords world questing. And Warlords world questing, it's like, well, there's a big hairy dude up there in the mountain. Let's all just get 25 plus people. Let's just go kill it. What's he doing up there? I don't know. He's just up there and we shouldn't be up there. So let's go kill it. So it's not up there. I mean, that was really your motivation in Warlords. In this, it sounds like they're going to have a lot closer attention to there's a reason Demon Lord Zontar is sitting upon his perch and looks down upon the people. Like, there's going to be some story there, and I like that. I don't need a ton, but give me some context, and you've got my attention. Let's see. They also say there's a chance that the flexible zone scaling tech might help solve some of the leveling problems. People are talking about out-leveling the content, and before you're done with the story arcs and stuff, you're sort of done. This time around, they've injected some tech that will allow them to dynamically change that. If that sounds a little bit like, oh, I don't know, Diablo to you, you're not alone.
A little bit. No, I was just going to say, yeah, it sounds definitely a lot like Diablo, a lot of the stuff. But I was talking about this earlier on the show. One of my biggest, or not on the show, but on the stream, one of my biggest problems with Diablo is if someone's 100 Paragon levels ahead of you,
yeah,
it's really pointless to try to play with them.
Yeah.
So I hope that if they do something like this, that they address that as well, because I think one of the funnest things you could ever do while leveling is jump in with somebody else, no matter where the two of you are, as long as you can find a way to still do something together.
Yeah.
It's a tricky thing to accomplish, but
they'll scale the person that you're jumping to, right? I'm not sure who will get scaled, but my understanding is that if your level difference is too big, then one of the two gets scaled.
In the case of like, okay, so if you use Diablo as the comparison, that does a similar thing. You're both level 70, you're both pretty well geared, and you're both running the same rift, and so difficulty set at a place where you're supposed to both be able to handle it. But if that guy's Paragon 500 and you're Paragon 20, he's still at a huge advantage over you. And in this case...
Well, yeah, but what happens a lot of times is people go, oh, I'm going to power level you, and then they set it at some crazy high torment level, right? And then you just die the moment any random wandering bat comes by. and so that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
You know, Guild Wars 2 did this fantastically.
Yeah.
Or you could just group up with anybody, no matter where you were, it all just kind of worked.
Yeah, not only that, but if you see some content you never did, and it's level 1 through 7, and you're already max level... You can go do it, and everything will
behave. Go back and do it. Yeah.
Everything will behave at a high level.
I don't think the problem is going to be as big for WoW, though, because it's only going to be 10 levels, maximum 10 levels difference. And, you know, it's probably going to be more like 2, 3, or 5. And when you get to, you know, the differences are not as stark in WoW as they are in Diablo, because as anyone who's played Diablo knows, if you try to go to, you know, a Torment 8 and you're only geared for Torment 5, you're gonna blow up. Like,
yeah,
this is the
problems.
Difference is so in WoW you can always survive for it. I don't think the problem is going to be there. It's not the same difference.
That's a good point. Like if Dills is out doing something and he's artifacted to hell and back and done all this stuff I haven't done or whatever, and I go meet with him and things scale accordingly for the two of us, it isn't like something will breathe on me and I'll die. I think it'll be more go ahead.
So I don't even think that's not even the specific issue we're talking about here is going to be the leveling process, right?
Right.
We're still on that.
Yeah.
And there you only have from level 100 to level 110. So, I mean, if you start taking into account the, you know, eye level of your gear and someone who's going to be like, I don't know, 100 eye level above you, maybe you're going to get into that realm of, let's say someone has a mythic dungeon key that, you know, with this new key system that again is very similar to Diablo, that is going to make it the dungeon super incredibly difficult. At that point, I think you might, you know, blow up if someone breathes on you. That might happen.
So
but for the leveling process and the scaling zones, which is, you know, that tech that is going to adapt the level of the zone to the level you're in so you can go anywhere, I don't think that's going to be as big a problem.
Okay, so you brought up the new dungeon stuff just briefly, and I just want to ask, all right, so Dills, as my former leader in our Wrath of the Lich King raiding content, because that's what you are, we had a 10-man and you were the man, you were the guy that led the whole schmear. Do any of these affixes and mythic plus things and all this stuff that we know about raiding coming up, does any of this fire you up for raiding again? Because I'm having a hard time getting excited about it, and I know they're doing all they can to get me back into the whole dance, but I don't know if this stuff's doing it for me, so I'm really curious what you think.
Well, I guess for me the biggest issue that I've had with raiding recently isn't necessarily it isn't really the content or anything. It's just, I guess, that it's just we've been doing it for so long and it's just been kind of the same thing for so long. Or, you know, you go in and you get your gear, and then if you didn't get a drop, you go back next week and you hope you get the drop. And if you didn't get it, then you go back the next week and you get the drop. And that whole thing gets stale after a certain amount of time, right? But a lot of this feels like there's going to be steps along the way that are going to matter more, because in the past too, it was like, I do five mans just to get one piece that I might need that then allows me to do the 10 mans and then the 25 mans. And it doesn't, like, there's very few steps in between. So you end up kind of running, you're at the end pretty quick, you know?
Right.
And you're now, this is where I go. This is the only place there's gear left for me. Then I feel like what's going to fire me up is the stuff that's more like, the raiding is still there, but after I'm raiding, I still want to then have like five mans matter. Mm-hmm. And it does seem like there's going to be some of that going on.
Sure.
Which I think is very exciting. You know, because like if you're in Diablo and, you know, there's a lot of stuff that feels very crossover from Diablo that's going on. But if you're in Diablo and you're doing rifts and greater rifts, it doesn't mean that there's no reason to ever do bounties anymore, right? Mm-hmm. There's still a reason to go back and do those.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm hoping to get a sense of, is that I go back, like, I'm raiding, and then it's like, oh, well, you know, this five man now has something that I can go get that I couldn't really use before, and now I can, and it's the five man. And, like, I don't know. I feel like in Burning, was it, like, where was it? Was it Outlands where I felt like this happened before? Maybe? I don't know. Mm.
I felt like the dungeons mattered a lot in Wrath.
It seemed Wrath like it used to matter a lot more, yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, okay, do these, and then now you're done, never go back.
Now never go back, yeah. And if these, if the dynamic sort of difficulty thing plays into that, that'd be really nice. Like, I love the idea that at some point it was like, we need this material to advance the thing or whatever. And the only way
like
to
in
get
Burning
it,
Crusades, I raided and then I went and did more five mans. Like, I feel like I never really stopped doing the five mans. I never really stopped doing.
Well, you had,
but maybe it was just because that's just the game was more grindy then. I don't know.
Well, that's when they introduced. That's when they introduced heroics, right? Because the
heroic dungeons are incredibly difficult, and you had to CC mobs in regular pools and all that kind of stuff, which may or may not be good to do again. But I think that might not work in today's, you know, atmosphere, but I do want to have some, not just, okay, it's all linear. I'd rather have more jumping around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that to me would make the experience more exciting. Get something done here and then now like cross straight over to here to do something else rather than, oh, we've reached the end. All right. See you guys next patch. Which it kind of happens nowadays.
Yeah.
It's definitely the comparison with Diablo again is kind of apt, because you go do your rifts and then you go back, do a little bit of bounties, and, you know, then maybe you're going to jump into a new season and stuff like that. So there is some variety in what is always the same kind of gameplay, but still you feel like you're doing different things. Mm-hmm. And I think that they might be onto something with the keystones and the affixes that actually change your experience in the dungeon. So level difficulty wise, there's going to be stuff to do in the dungeon. There's going to be apparently interesting stuff in the world quests, and there's still going to be the raids.
Sure.
The keystones and the affixes are really, I think, going to change the way you approach those dungeons, right? If you were talking about CC, if you have those, some of the affixes that, you know, I don't know, that other mobs that are left in the encounter enrage when you kill one of them, then maybe you have to make sure you bring all of them down at the same. It's like mini raid encounters, depending on the affix. So you're going to have to pay a little bit more attention again, and I think it might provide the motivation that you need to go back into the dungeons.
Well, plus,
and
he said there, Ian made the point of he kept repeating, or it seems like he said it a few times, that there is no cap to that number. So the number of affixes that you could aim for, or just go and go and go. That sounds an awful lot like Paragon to me. I mean, it's a different application of Paragon, but this idea of an unlimited pool of progress is pretty interesting. The only worry I have about affixes, and the only worry I have about that being my raid endgame content, is that, is it in the end, is it just going to feel like I'm adding mutators to the same experience? Am I just adding a mutator that says that guy blows up instead of just dying when you kill him, so you all need to move over here, and then that bomb spreads like KT's thing in Heroes, and nobody go near him? Or, you know, like, that's what it sounds like, is there's these little bits of things that'll change over time with greater difficulty, more variety. That all sounds really great on paper until you play, well, Overwatch is a good example. Until you get into Overwatch and go, oh, that sounds like fun to be nothing but Pharah and Mercy. Let's go ahead and do that. And then you realize, this is one of the worst experiences of my life.
So yeah, you're talking about the weekly brawl where you can only play those two characters.
Yeah,
that particular brawl sucks. The other ones are really good.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to throw that whole thing under the bus, but my point is, at some point, you're just adding mutators, and so I don't know if that's what this is or not. If it's just like they do in Hearthstone as well with weekly brawls, it's like I don't want them to get into this rotation where it's just we're just adding weird things to the mix, but really it's the same experience because it doesn't really address my problem, which is the repetition. And
so,
I actually, real quick, Patrick, because I was at DreamHack and I had some guys come up to me. They're all excited about World of Warcraft and stuff, and they're talking about some of this legacy server stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But one thing that was interesting is we started talking, we just kind of started spitballing. We started discussing like raid seasons, and how cool that might be. And you might be able to do something like that here with all of this. But also with legacy servers where, it's boring to go back and grind old stuff. But what if there was a season and you were trying to, you know, get on some leaderboard or something for that season? Like Diablo. Here we go again.
Yeah.
But, you know, it really did make me think. Like, that might be one of the things that I find tiresome about WoW Endgame at this point is that it just feels all like I get to an end point and then I just sit and wait for more content. Mm-hmm. And is never going to be enough. They're never going to be able to put it out fast enough for the hardest of core players to go through it, right?
Right.
So one way to kind of fix that is these kind of endless progression and something like a season. So there's lots and lots of ways.
I love that idea. You know? That's super interesting.
So you could go back and play like BC seasons and go back and add a legacy server and just try to do that. You could go play Cataclysm seasons. Like, you do all this stuff if you want to. But you could also do it now with current content as well.
Sure.
Where you get to the end and it's like rather than wait for new stuff, the season ends like PvP and then you start again and now you're earning again, essentially.
Yeah.
You could just add a few new pieces of gear or something.
Like what if they're scaling technology worked down to old content, not saying it will, not saying any of this is coming, but it would be kind of neat if you could say, all right, we all need to do Magtheridon in Burning Crusade or in, you know, Hellfire, and it's our, you know, we need 25 people to do it or whatever, and this season that's what it is, and the season lasts a month or something. And
you, yeah, and like if you're doing it seasonally, it could actually be as difficult as it should be for your current whatever.
Yeah,
there's all sorts of cool stuff that they could do that's not making all new content every single time we're done with the old stuff. Because what happens is we inevitably sit here. And for people who haven't listened to the Starting Zone episode 150, go listen to it, because it's not just the players that struggle. Like, we as the, you know, the instance has become a Blizzard show.
Yeah.
And a lot of shows have struggled to figure out what to talk about. But it's just because content can't keep up with what everyone wants to do. People get in there and play through it so fast, no matter how hard they make it. Right.
Yeah.
And a company, no matter how many people are there, no matter how good they are at creating content, can never keep up with that. So I think you need to like broaden ideas and come up with new ways to keep it fresh.
Well, it's funny what you say, that you say that, because one of the things he talked about with keystones and leveling and all this stuff, here's a quote: the limit is looser than challenge mode dungeons, as the point isn't to race through the dungeons, just complete it at reasonable rates. So this isn't a speed run mode, these affixes or these keystones or this entire Mythic Plus thing. This is more of a, what if that guy had twice the hit points and drop fireballs at the same time? All right, well, we know this fight, except that's a new thing we haven't had to deal with yet. So here we go. Yeah. And in a seasonal context, that is all so much more interesting to me for some reason than it is just if it's always just there. So I think you're on to something.
I don't even play my main in Diablo anymore. I literally just wait till a new season comes out and then I make a new character and I go again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think seasons for WoW would be a very interesting concept. The issue would be either they have to fix leveling, because they talked about leveling, which is way too fast now. Addressed this. I can't remember if it was in the Ian interview, but they mentioned it, and it wouldn't work because you out-level the content very quickly. And then how do you go through each different iteration of the game? Do you have to play the Molten Core with 1.0 or, 1.12, which I think it went to, or, and then you progress to do you have to attain a certain level of gear to be able to progress to Outland, and then do you play 2.0? Or, you know, they would have to maintain all these different states of the game, or just make one specifically continuous experience with the current engine, but sort of craft it so that it would work at those different levels. There would be stuff to do, but I think it would be very difficult engineering-wise and design-wise. It would be very complicated to achieve. Yeah. But there's definitely something there. I mean, get people back to level one and see who gets the highest eye level, and with these conditions on the way to be able to progress to the next stage, next expansion of the game. There's something there. I think that would be very exciting.
Yeah, I hope they're all learning some lessons from why Diablo has got the feet and legs it has, and why every time there's a new season, my entire friends list is in Diablo.
It becomes Diablo.
Yeah,
that's not only that though. Like Blizzard, as a company, has proven that they watch what the community does and then pay attention and, you know, put it into the game with all the mods and things that have happened that have essentially become features.
Yeah.
Later on down the road, you can watch the player base struggle to find ways to make a game relevant to them again, and what they come up with, and you can kind of insert that into the game. Because, you know, if you guys know about the Iron Man thing that people came up with, is because they wanted to level again, but they wanted it to feel hard, right? So they put all these restrictions on themselves and then tried to level all the way up without dying. There's all kinds of cool stuff you can put in. Same thing happens with like Hearthstone. The community starts coming up with weird ways to run tournaments because we just get a little bit tired of the same old, unless they keep the game fresh, right?
All right.
So you can keep the game fresh without redoing everything by just kind of tweaking and giving us a little bit more sandboxy feel to some of the gameplay. So I hope that there's something like that coming down the line. I had never even considered seasonal World of Warcraft, and it's like, we've had it forever in PvP. Why are we not thinking about this in PvE?
Well, it sounds foreign. At first, it's a really foreign, weird-sounding idea, and then when you see it in practice in either a multiplayer environment or like in Diablo with seasons, you see that work, and you go, oh, okay, I kind of get I've got my head around how we're applying this very sportsy term of seasons around a otherwise traditional sort of, you know, RPG experience, and it actually works really well. So I'm all in on this. Patrick, you were about to say something.
All that being said, I have to say that my plan of not really looking at WoW for a few months in order to get hyped for it again has absolutely worked. I mean, I think we sound a little bit lukewarm on the whole thing here, and I might have been, you know, in a similar place a few months ago, but I have to say, with the beta that just happened last week and going back to read the giant patch notes that they released, which are essentially the expansion's patch notes, a lot of stuff we knew again, we knew already, and we're just looking at it again, but I am extremely hyped for Legion now.
I'm
in that place where I don't want to play too much of the beta because I don't want to, you know, spoil it until it comes out, but I am gonna be all over that game when it comes out. I've played the beta a little bit, lots of super exciting stuff, and everything I'm reading in the patch notes is making me want to play that game. It's worked exactly as I intended. That, you know, as, and I don't know if Dills, it worked for you as well, but staying away from it. And now I can't wait to get back into it. It might, you know, it might just last a couple of months. It might last 3 months, but I guarantee you, I'm going to be playing Legion only on August 30th. I'm going to be jumping in and having a blast.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm right there, man. It's funny because I miss WoW. It's like it comes in and out, and I'll go through periods where I log in and I go, why am I here? What am I doing? And then I go through periods where I'm like, oh my God, I want to go PvP so bad. I miss that experience so much. Mm. What I can't really wait to do, I can't wait to stream World of Warcraft, because, you know, streaming Hearthstone and all the other stuff that we've been streaming has just been so fun to kind of have the community there with you. And I'm just excited to like experience the new PvP and all of the stuff
with
the
leveling
system
there and everything,
and leveling, and all of that together. Because I streamed some Battlegrounds not that long ago, and it was actually really fun to do. But I got to a certain point where I was like, oh yeah, I'm out of honor, or I have too much honor to buy anything that matters anymore.
Sure.
So the only thing I can do now is Arena, and I got to find someone to play Arena with. Whatever. And I, you know, it's like I just kind of turned it off. But I'm excited to start from fresh and have all this stuff ahead of me again. That's, I think, what's always missing when you get to the, you know, because that was never missing for a long time. But maybe it's just because it was just took so long to do everything. Sure. And maybe we need to go back to that. I don't know if I want to. I don't know.
But the thing is, the whole thing's weird. I think since the announcement, what was it, last year at Gamescom, maybe? I can't even remember. It's been so long.
It was Gamescom, right? Weird. That's right.
Yep. I think so.
Yep.
And it's been so long. And it's I almost forgot the amount of things that are going to be happening with Legion. You know, you mentioned PvP. There is like PvP is incredibly arcadey nowadays. It's your level gets canceled out. Your gear gets canceled out almost entirely, you know, only a few percentage points. So you get in there and you progress to get more abilities in PvP, PvP specific talents. But you're just as, you know, good as everyone else gear wise. So for PvP, it is really just going to be your skill that is going to matter. That is huge. Mm-hmm. It's really a big change. I'm not saying it's better or worse than the previous one, but it's different. And it's going to be a really big change in the way you approach PvP in this game, which is a big part of the game. That alone, PvP has been completely transformed. And I don't know if Holinka is listening, but man, it's a lot of work that you've done on this. And I'm really curious to see how it works out, because the experience of playing PvP in this game is going to be very different. And this is just PvP. You have the artifacts that are going to be a whole system unto themselves, the order holes that are going to be, you know, very specifically tailored for the way you explore the game. The classes have been redesigned. A lot of them, maybe I would say half of them, have been heavily redesigned. The talents are completely different. We also have the new... You can hear it in my voice.
You're
the way
stoked,
I've been talking about this game for the past 6 months, and it has been okay. And now, like, I'm getting hyped, man. I cannot wait. And I got into the beta a little bit and played Laser Chicken for an hour or two with the initial quest. And I went in thinking I want to try the spec, and I got sucked into the story. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait to see what's happening. And no spoilers, but there's stuff happening.
Oh yeah, stuff goes down for sure.
So anyway, I just wanted to make it clear that now my buddy is ready for WoW. I'm super excited. So just saying.
All right, well, good. Well, we'll move on to a little bit of movie stuff. So I don't know if these were Hungarian. They looked like something like that to me. I could not figure out the language on screen, but some stuff got leaked. And since then, I've seen English versions of it, meaning the subtitle stuff, have popped up around. Most of it gets blocked, then some of it shows up again. There's currently some stuff on MMO Champion that has not been pulled down. Patrick refuses to watch any of it because he doesn't want to be spoiled on any of these scenes from the films. Some of the stuff we know, and this doesn't spoil anything, Patrick, okay? I'm not going to ruin this for you.
Yes, do not. So the main reason I'm not watching anything anymore is I went to watch Civil War without seeing any trailer in the past 6 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were lots of different... I enjoyed Civil War so much more because I hadn't seen a lot of the scenes that are in the trailers.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I went back and watched them afterwards, and I was like, oh my God, you spoiled so much in those trailers.
Did you know about Spider-Man?
Yes, that I did know.
Okay.
It's a hard one.
That would have actually been the coolest thing if you didn't know. And then all of a sudden that was happening. It would have been like, what?
Yeah,
I know. But I mean, I've stopped watching Warcraft trailers. I'm not watching Doctor Strange trailers. I'm not watching. I'm going to try and be as unsullied as possible for the movies coming, you know, in the next few years. So I didn't watch any of this. And please don't spoil Scott. Thank you.
You know, the Unsullied, they got to have their wieners cut off, right, though? You know about that part of being Unsullied?
No, if it means I enjoy Civil War as much as I did, then I'm okay with that.
All right, fair enough. So I'm not going to give anything away. I'll just say, let's see if this gives anything away. certain entities in the film have English accents and certain don't, and it's funny which ones do and which ones don't. Does that give anything away?
I think you can say a little bit more.
All right, the orcs all have English accents, and the humans, none of them do. I think that's really weird. I'm fine with it. Not really going to, you know, say that's a no-go for me or some sort of blockade to seeing the movie, but it's a little strange to see orcs sitting around going, yes, good boy. Look at out off to the left there. There's a lovely town. Like, they're just talking like a bunch of pompous English guys, and they're all American, the humans. So you got Medivh and freaking Khadgar having a fight in a library, and all this stuff's going on, and they're just everyone's just talking, like they live in Midwest somewhere. And it's
that's how the humans talk in the game, though, right? They don't.
Yeah, but the orcs have English accents. The orcs don't have an English accent in the game.
No, they definitely don't. And that's the that's maybe the weird
bit. But
they
have an orcish tone. I don't know. it sounds like it to me, though. Like, I don't know. Like, when I was listening to the orcs talk, it sounds Warcrafty. Like, I don't know.
It's not a big deal.
The music of the stuff that we just got, though, by the way, was so much better than the last, like, three trailers.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'll take one of those scenes over every trailer of the last, well, at least all the U.S. trailers. The internationals have been a little bit better.
Is the CGI is just getting better and better. It's clear that it's been continued to be worked on.
Oh, it looks great.
From every time we've seen some footage to the next. And right now, it is insane. I cannot, I don't know if I've seen better, actually. Like, looking at these orcs, I'm like, I don't know if I've seen CGI characters that look better than these guys.
Yeah, and they're, okay, here's a spoiler, Patrick. This is the only one I'm going to give you.
Oh, my God.
Hang on. All right, I'm interrupting this for real quick. Don't worry, I'm going to tell you the horse story, all right? The horse story is coming. It's important. I just wanted to give you a little cliffhanger here while I remind you that getting to concerts and stuff like that is kind of a pain. I don't know if you've noticed. It's been a pain since I was going to concerts, ever since I was in my teens until now. But only until now, because now I have SeatGeek. If you've been frustrated trying to buy tickets online and know that most sites are way overly complicated, try to sneak in those little fees right before you check out. I know you've seen it. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. SeatGeek, or K, rather. I know how to spell. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets online. It's the only place I ever go now to look for tickets for a game or a concert. I do it for my kids all the time. I got the SeatGeek app on my phone. That's easy to get, by the way. So go check that out. We used it for 21 pilots for the boy. And they take all the work and hassle out of shopping for tickets. Every seat, every ticket on SeatGeek, because they're seats, basically, right? Unless you're standing, is given a grade based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you can use SeatGeek's detailed map and see the view from your seat. What? That's pretty awesome. Is it worth going to this hockey game? Why, yes, it is. Because look at the view. Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike some of the others, they show you the full ticket price from start to finish. They never try to jam in some weird fee at the end. You guys want to get a $20 rebate on your first SeatGeek purchase? Simple to do it. To get $20 off, fit $20 rebate on tickets. Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. When you're there, enter the promo code INSTANCE. They will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Look at that, $20 for free, man. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code INSTANCE today. Do it! An orc throws a horse at some people. That's not really spoilery, but it's badass. He picks up a horse.
What?
An orc picks up an entire horse and throws it.
How could you ruin the best action
that horse scene? Totally tied the movie together, and now you spoiled it.
It's like when Dills just said that Spider-Man was a Civil War.
Yeah.
People who didn't know have been ruined.
Oh, everybody knew.
I love creative horse use in any movies. I would remind everybody that the worst Star Trek movie, Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, it's a terrible film, but there is a scene where Spock nerve pinches a horse and the horse faints. So I love it when a horse is being used in a way that is ridiculous. And this is throwing a horse is really badass. So that happens. And that's all I'll say. I'm not going to spoil anything else. And really, honestly, they don't really spoil anything. There's no big story points or anything, but you do get a better sense of some of the pace of it. Like there is a scene where two orcs are sitting overlooking an encampment of orcs talking about what they need to do. And I won't talk about what they're talking about because that is spoilery, but there's a real subtlety to that I didn't expect. And I'm really compelled by the orc side. I always have been. I'm kind of a horde dude through and through, but I thought, you know, even though I know this movie's a little more knowledgeable and the original game wasn't going to you know, we weren't going to have these mindless screaming orcs and that's all they were ever going to be. So I knew we'd get more nuance than that, but it was great. It felt real and, I don't know, heartfelt and conversational. And even though they all had British accents, it had a, there was a cool vibe to that.
All of this falls apart, though, the moment the orcs look stupid. And I'm just so happy. Like, I'm freeze framing all this stuff right now.
Yeah.
And you could just grab any moment, and it just looks incredible.
Looks real good.
So I cannot wait. I want my first experience to be on the biggest possible screen with the best sound system I can find. And, it's
going to be good. My friends in France are going to be watching it on the 25th or something, and I'm going to have to wait until the 11th. To be back in Europe and see it. I'm so worried.
Oh, like the like the Americans, you poor thing. You have to wait until the weekend we get it.
I know. Like I have it as bad as the Americans. That's terrible.
Yep. The worst.
I'm wondering if
an American, it's the worst.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the orcs having a British accent, first of all, Gilleans do have a British accent and they're humans or, you know, werewolves. But I'm wondering if it doesn't say something about Duncan Jones wanting to instill a little bit of his identity into his favorite race.
Maybe. that could be. I mean, there are other examples, though, like King Taranis, Arthas's dad. He's got an English accent, but Arthas doesn't. Uther has a thick, very pompous sort of governmental British accent. It's like there's no rule or rhyme to it, and maybe that's how the movie is. Maybe they just don't care. It's like, all right, guy we have playing Khadgar, your accent, you can't do one to save your life, so instead of doing a shitty accent, you just come out and talk like you do normally. I don't know. I mean, and maybe it won't matter to me at all. Maybe I'll see that and just go, I don't care. But it's that stereotype of our fantasy movies where the humans, at least, all sound like British people. It's just way it's been.
Yeah, the more you talk about it, the more I like it that the humans don't all have a British accent. That would have been, I mean, yeah, we'll see when the movie
comes. We'll see. And it looked a little Harry Pottery to me in part of it, and I'm not sure I like that. But I'll just move on from that. That's all. That's not a spoiler, Patrick. It's just a little. Just
Well, depends how Harry Pottery.
They did play Quidditch. There was a Quidditch.
Whole it's that big Quidditch scene. Like,
is Medivh from Hufflepuff?
Yes.
Or like, what's the deal there?
Yeah, and you know how they won? They forced a snitch down the throat of a horse, and then an orc threw the horse through the goal.
Threw it.
Yeah, it was really something else.
That's how they into the
sunset. A reminder, if you want to watch it with me and Tom and a whole bunch of people, come to Salt Lake City on the weekend of the 11th, frogpants.com/Warcraft. All right, so also, if you like the Alliance or you like the Horde, I have two pieces of good news, one that's not in the notes and one that isn't the notes. The one that is not in the notes is this. You know, they were putting out those Mike and Ike's and red tamale, hot tamale candies, Horde for tamales, Mike and Ike's for Alliance, and they just had an Alliance and Horde logo, but it was pretty lame. You can now buy a combined box that has both Horde and Alliance, Mike and Ike's, and the hot tamale candy all mixed in one box, and it says the Horde Alliance edition or something, and it's got pictures of Durotan and Lothar there on the front, and the whole thing's branded like Warcraft. So our long nightmare is over. The Horde and the Alliance working together. I think that's a spoiler in itself. They're going to join forces and fight off the whatever thing they got to fight off in the movie. So go to the store.
You decided that the Horde people like the cinnamon candies, man.
Well, because they're red, dude.
We're the good guys around here.
They're just red. That's all. Like, we need something for red, and the other ones have blue, so it's fine.
Pretty sure, yeah. I mean, look, I play Horde, and I always get Starburst when I go to the movies, so.
You know what? I like those better, too. all right, so if you fight for the Alliance, you fight for the Horde, you get a reward in the Warcraft transmog items. These are pretty neat. You need to log into the game within 2 months after the release of the film in your region. So you get replica Lion's Fang and replica Lion's Heart if you are an Alliance dude. There are images of this up on MMO Champion and various other sources. Replica Bloodguard's Cleaver, or Bloodguard Cleaver, rather, and replica of the Staff of Gul'dan. So if you want to have Gul'dan's staff in your grip, your transmog items will be yours. If you just log in, you don't even have to see the movie. You just log in and there they are. They look pretty cool.
They look really good, though.
Yeah.
They are super good 3D designs. I mean, they look awesome.
Yeah, they're not messing around. Looks really nice. Anyway, that's what's going on in WoW. A lot, it turns out. There's also some things going on in Heroes of the Storm. This week, we get Chromie. She is currently on the PTR. Chromie is the little gnome dragon flight who's time chicky.
Caverns of Time.
There you go. That's the one. She's the one that flies you to the thing and poops you out and then sends you on your way. And she's a gnome when she's in her walking around bipedal form. And for a lot of people, that sucks, but that's okay. This is the one gnome I think is all right. She seems super rad. She's a ranged assassin. Messed with her a little bit in practice.
She uses a lot of dragon abilities, though.
Yep.
But,
And everything looks like sand when she does it. Like, like cool Sands of Time effects. So when she shoots that dragon up out of her and it lands on you, kind of KT style, it's got a little bit of a delay. It is like a big sand dragon. And when she shoots her long range, I forget what it's called, thing, it looks like sand stuff flying everywhere, and it's super cool effect. So
she's got some of the best abilities as far as animations are concerned, I think. And also, she's going to be really strong. She gets her talents one level before everybody else.
Yep.
So, you know, instead of waiting until 7 and 10 or whatever, she gets at 9. She's got her heroic abilities. But the real craziness that's going to happen is 3 weeks after, when Medivh comes in.
Yeah.
He is broken, man. That is, I looked through his kit and I was like, no, this is, we're going to ban you every single time.
It's a little much.
You'll never play, no one will ever play a game of Medivh.
It's pretty cool, though. It's pretty cool, though, that he makes a dark portal when he wants to move around the map. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but his invincible crow that just flies over things and finds out where you are and what? Like,
and you can't kill it.
But he basically has no damage, though. So when you have it, you basically remove 20% of your team's damage for utility, which at that point, it has to be broken a little bit, right? If you don't have any damage for that character.
Well, broken in the sense that, I mean, the kind of vision he provides with that crow form is unbelievable. Like, he can go anywhere. They can't kill it. So it's not like the little floaty thing that Lunara makes or anyone else. You can't just kill that thing. It's just going to fly around and look and show everybody everything that's happening. And the right team with the right strategy is going to be able to really exploit that.
I'm actually a little bit concerned because I read his kit and I was like, oh, God. But, you know, we'll wait. We'll wait and we'll see.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's going to be really, really good.
So he's the way, I guess, we celebrate the movie is by having a key character from that conflict show up in Heroes of the Storm. So that'll be fun. But Chromie has been on the PTR for a week. She'll be out tomorrow. So unless something changes, I believe that's still, Tuesday. And I'm looking forward to her. You can check out the Core podcast and, of course, Stormcast with Dills and get tons of details about all this stuff. So don't take our word for it.
Yeah, we talked all about Chromie and Medivh in the last episode, just in depth.
Yeah,
so
we did too on Core, and we'll probably do even more so Tuesday night because we'll have some time to play with her. So go check those out if you'd like. All right, Patrick, tell us about your time in Hearthstone. I guess you found a weekly brawl you actually liked.
Yeah, I always enjoy, I often enjoy.
This might have been the best one that ever happened. So.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you haven't played the weekly brawl in Hearthstone yet, you have to go play it. It's up for until the end of the day, is it?
Yeah, today you still have a little time.
Yeah, I think it's gone tomorrow at some point or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So
I've already played the hell out of it, so I'm...
Yeah, just go try it. The idea of, you know, the way it works is that you just select two cards for your deck. Just two. And then the entirety of your deck is composed of 15 times one and 15 times the other. And it creates some amazing possibilities for super silly, ridiculously broken fun in the game. It is, you know, you get stuff like, for example, for the mage, you would have the ice block that makes you invulnerable and the fireball. So as soon as you get to level to three mana, you always have ice block in your hand and you always have fireball. So three mana, you get the ice block. As soon as you take damage, you're invulnerable and you can, you know, until the end of the turn, and next turn you can put up another one. And pretty soon you can also throw a fireball. So you basically, no matter what the other one can do, you're going to win. With Druid, you're going to do Innervate, which gives you two free mana, and Ragnaros, the very powerful legendary. And since you're going to have like three or four of the Innervate in your hand, and pretty quickly, you can just play Ragnaros or play two Ragnaroses or three, and you're just going to wreck your opponent's face. It's just the kind of rule bending that you have in some games that you can't do in regular games of Hearthstone that allows you to do crazy things that are just pure fun. Just go play it. It's super fun.
It is. It does.
I got you one up here, Patrick.
Oh, I
gotta
hear this.
Go ahead and check out.
Oh, what is this?
Check out the. That's one of my tweets. So, turn one, I played Yashiraj, who is a 10/10 for 10 mana, and at the end of your turn, he summons another creature from your deck. Well, the only creatures in your deck are other Yashirajes. So, at the end of your turn, he pulls out a second one. And after turn one, you have two 10/10s on the board. Then what do you think happens on turn two? Well, there are four. There are four Yashirajes on the board. So that was probably the funnest one. There's some really broken stuff you can do. But everything has a counter, though, too, which I thought was really fun. Is that you know, if you were to make something, I could always sit there and think about it for a second and come up with something that'll counter that.
Yeah.
So like, and when you play, when you're queuing up, you know, like it's just kind of randomized what you end up with. But, you know, everyone can come up with some specific thing that is like broken, like your Ragnaros thing. And then I could say, oh, well, I put Innervate Big Game Hunter. What now? You know, it's like you can just like always find another way that will just like crush everyone else's dreams. So it's super fun.
I'm into that.
When you're playing, you're probably going to be seeing a lot of people who concede after turn three because you know what's going to happen. And you know
they got to figure it out.
Yeah. So then you have to go back and create another deck that is different for the current Brawl meta, which is silly to say. But it was super fun.
Just hurry up, everybody, because you got till the end of midnight, probably Pacific or something tonight.
Something. It closes soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it'll be back. People, this one got a lot of great feedback. So
yeah.
They'll be doing a repeat of this one.
Overwatch had some stuff happening. Tomorrow, by the way, is the day for the Hanzo Genji animated short. It's called Dragons, and they Dills, I thought of you because when we saw that other teaser this week that was for the game, more like a commercial for the game, it showed a couple of clips from this new coming short, also one from 76, which I assume we'll get at launch. But he does a real time pre-rendered animated taquito grill.
Nice.
Or at least starts one, and I cannot be more excited about how the hell that ends up, probably with the whole team dead.
Man, I'm so sad that I can't play Overwatch right now.
I know,
every
dude.
Every single time I open my BattleNet launcher, it's still at the top. I need to move it down so I don't see the damn logo
you
anymore.
Need to deprecate it just to keep it out of your mind and not get depressed because it's so freaking good, that game.
It's a week away.
I know it's coming. I know it's close.
10 days.
Damn.
I know, it just feels like, I mean, they had a really good beta, 9.7 million players, 81 million hours played. It's the biggest open beta of all time.
That is insane.
It's crazy.
Insane.
Yeah.
It's, I mean,
how come it
almost
took so
10
long
million
to find
players.
A match then? Well, what the hell?
That's a good point.
It didn't take me long. Maybe because, you know, you were playing at DreamHack and I don't know. But 10 million players, I suspect, you know, they extended the beta by a little bit.
Sure.
By one day. I think it might have, maybe not. I'm just speculating, but I think it might have been because they were trying to get to 10 million.
Oh, really? I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
I think so.
At DreamHack, if you walked around the LAN area, everyone was playing Overwatch because it was during its free... Like it was just free for everyone. So all the people who couldn't play were all finally in there. And it's like, it started out, you walked around and everyone was playing like League of Legends or something like that.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the weekend, it was literally just Overwatch everywhere, going up and down the aisles. And Overwatch.
There are a couple of really interesting things to see in those numbers. First of all, I think the most interesting one is almost 10 million players, 81 million hours played. That means, you know, on average, people played 8 hours. That's insane.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. People playing an open beta for, you know, it's about a week, 8 hours average. Mm-hmm. That means, of course, some people played, you know, 20 minutes and decided it wasn't for them. And some people played, you know, 15, 20 hours.
Yeah,
but
I played like 70 hours, in the last little bit. I played a lot.
I played probably half of those 80 million hours during the open beta, but you know, it's that number is crazy. And then a couple of people did some analysis on this, and all of the, first of all, this is the biggest open beta of this generation, which I never would have thought. Zuj EX, which is a video game analyst, he might be on Pixels next week, actually, so I'm looking forward to that. He compiled the numbers. Destiny did 4.6 million in the open beta, and that was a hyped game. The Division, 6.4. Star Wars Battlefront, 9.5. And all of those games currently have more active players or registered players than they did in the beta. So it's not just a case of people necessarily, you know, if you look at the trends, it's not just that people play the beta and then less people actually buy the game. In the case of those other games, they have more players than they did in the beta. So I don't know if that's going to be the same for Overwatch, but it's a very, as hyped as we were for the game, I think it's very surprising for a competitive multiplayer only game to get that amount of attention during an open beta. I was very
well. Look
very
at it surprised. This way. Look at it this way. When Battlefront came out, or when it was in beta, when Destiny was in beta, when all these games were in beta, there was a lot of talk of, oh yeah, I really like what's here at the core, but I sure hope they're going to fix this before launch, or I sure hope that this isn't the only map I'm going to see there, or, you know, there was always this, I sure hope, because this is really cool for this weekend, but man, it needs to be more than this when it comes out. And in a lot of those cases, particularly in Destiny and Battlefront's case, lots of players disappointed at launch that it wasn't more than what they saw in the beta. I'm not hearing any of that kind of talk with the Overwatch beta at all. Everybody loves what they did and cannot wait to do more, and doesn't feel like a beta at all. It feels like a finished ass game and they're ready to roll. So I don't think you're going to have any of those day one disappointments of, oh, this is the only, you know, time I get to jump off a thing or whatever. I mean, there's no, it's feature complete. You could argue, well, I sure wish I had a campaign, but nobody's sitting around going, boy, I hope at launch there's a campaign. We know there isn't going to be one. So yeah. I feel like expectations were matched on beta,
sure,
and will match at launch, which I think translate to more sales than some of these other guys have gotten. I think it's a huge landmark for them, and I could not be more jazzed just to play it again. F all that. I just want to freaking play. So
I'm a little disappointed that it's not launching with ranked play, but I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I want them to get it right when it does launch. Mm-hmm. So
a lot of people,
that great.
A lot of people were, what's the word? We're confused when it came out and didn't have ranked play. They thought that just wasn't a mode that the game would have at all. I think it would do them a service to put up something at launch that's like a box that's either not clickable or something that just says ranked play coming, and then even a date if they can squeeze that in or something. I think people need to know that's coming.
Yeah.
You know,
it's going to be important to that game, because you're going to want to get to a point where once you get a little bit better and you get good at the game, you're going to want to go play meaningful games where people aren't just in there. Because I think one of the problems that a lot of people did have with the game is that because it's so team-based and so comp-based, mm-hmm, that a lot of times in a shooter game, people just want to play offensive characters, right? And so when you get in these quick matches and you solo queue, you're like six people who none of them want to be the tank, none of them want to be the healer. They all want to be Genji and Widowmaker and McCree and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So ranked play is going to kind of be the fix for people who really care, while the quick match system will just be fine for everyone else, right?
Yeah.
But ranked play, it's like people are going to go in there, we're trying to win, so let's, you know.
I'm just saying it's a huge added value for the $60 is all I mean. Like that's huge. Makes a giant difference for me. So I think they should at least let people know, hey, what you paid for will include this rad thing. And for people who aren't constantly on forums or like us who are talking to each other all the time about what features we know about, but for the common people picking up an Xbox version, if there's no indication about ranked play, they're not going to know that, you know, that their $60 got them that as well. I don't know. It's a PR thing more than anything. But.
No, actually, I kind of agree with you, Scott. But there are a couple of things there. First of all, my very dear co-host on Overwatchers, Garrett Weinsruhl, who you guys know, was pining for ranked play before it was in. And he was saying, I could not understand if that game launched without ranked play. It would be ridiculous. And once the version that they had got in the game, he was like, all right, maybe take it out and work on it a little bit more. And now he's, you know, okay with the fact that it's not launching with ranked play, which was, you know, interesting. The other thing is, we've been playing the game for months, right? We've been playing it forever and enjoying it and playing hundreds of hours often. I think most people who are going to get in now are going to have a lot of time to play, you know, weeks and weeks before they start really pining for the rank play. And when you first get into it, you're like, oh, there isn't rank play. That's weird. And then you have fun in the quick play mode. And I think there is, you know, a good 50 to 100 hours of complete fun before you start wanting really the rank play. So I think for us and for the regular population, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And I think if they manage to start talking about when they're going to get rank play in within a few weeks, maybe a month of release, it should be fine. If it takes longer than that, I think it's going to start becoming a concern. But at this stage, I'm not too worried. There's a lot of fun.
Didn't we get the beta like just prior to BlizzCon? It was like October or November or something. We've had it for a long time now.
Late October was when it was.
Do yourselves a favor out there. If you haven't done this, go look at video of that, of then, when people are capturing video of that beta, and then compare it to something recent on YouTube or something. It's weird how polished it is now. And I didn't really notice the transition so much because it just seemed to slowly just be awesome, and I never really worried about it. But it is starkly like stiff and unanimated and weird, even though it looked great at the time. Just go do it sometime when you got some free minute. Just go look at the new footage, old footage, and you'll be like, oh man, it's like Tracer only had like three animations and everyone looked all stiff and weird. And it was weird, especially the early like BlizzCon 2014 stuff, which at the time I was like, oh my gosh, this game's beautiful. But I'm telling you, man, they have polished that thing to a sheen. It looks so amazing now.
It's not just that. It's as you're running around the world, all of the small stuff that's been added. They really have been doing a lot of work. It might not be noticeable when you play it all the time, mm-hmm. but when you step away for a while, like you said, there's been huge changes, and the game has just gotten much smoother and much better. But it always looked great.
It's such a piece of work. Yeah.
It's just even better now.
Good news is console version runs great. Gave that a shot. Loved it. During the beta, yeah.
How'd the aiming feel?
Good. I mean, there's some assisting going on, but that's true of all console shooters. I don't feel like, okay, so if anyone asks me, well, which is the better way to go? If you can and want to, the PC version is the one to have, I think. Just your ability to circle strafe and whip around quick and all the things that make fast-paced arena shooters fun, I think is just a better experience there. That being said, though, they've translated it extremely well. It's still super fun there, and I see no reason why that shouldn't succeed incredibly wildly there. It looks great. Frame rate's great. Everything's great. So they're not skimping, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But if you have the choice, go PC. It would be my recommendation. What else? Anyway, I can't wait for that thing tomorrow. Oh, are they live streaming that Coke Celebrations like launch event thing?
No. So basically, for those who don't know, there are Coke is organized. Coca-Cola, like major international brand, is organizing streamings of Overwatch content in cinemas. I'm sure, you know, everyone's heard of it. Most of them have been booked already. There's a site to go there if you want to. It's about 100 locations in the US. But there's going to be a lot of content there. There's going to be all of the shorts, which we now have confirmed, basically, that there's going to be four of the two that have already aired. Dragons, which is airing tomorrow, and the Soldier 76 one, which was teased in the Coke promotion. Mm-hmm. And there's probably going to be the intro movie and maybe even some gameplay stuff. But the entire thing is going to be 2 hours long. And if you put together all of the content I've just talked about, it's probably going to be, I don't know, 40, 50 minutes, something like that. So there's going to be more. I think a dev presentation is going to happen there. So anyway, it's a lot of content, including some content that we might not see elsewhere, to quote unquote waste on just 100 locations. So my suspicion is that a few days a week or a few days before, once all of the theaters have been filled, they're going to announce that they're also going to stream this live over the internet. Mm, so
that'd be good.
That's just, you know, my prediction, and I hope it's gonna happen because I want to see it.
Yeah, there's some wishful thinking on your part, but actually, I kind of agree that it would benefit them to snag as wide a swath as possible. Because here's what I think is true: no matter where you live, if there's a theater doing it, you're gonna go. If you're the fans we are, you're going. Even if you find out it's streaming on YouTube, Twitch, and a million other places, you're gonna try to go to that theater if it's convenient for you, if it's possible for you. And if you can't, there's no reason to block out that fan base. Let them see it somehow. So yes, well, I hope
they do. that's gonna be like 100,000 to 150,000 people that are gonna be watching these in theaters, right? Something like that.
Right.
That's the target for the game is several million, you know, million people. So I think they're gonna stream it. I'm really hoping they will. And knowing what I know of the way Blizzard works, I think they've been planning for a stream already, and it's gonna happen.
Yeah. But now, don't forget. So, not long ago, Metzen told me that his favorite of the shorts was coming out next. That's Dragons. So, I think we're in for something special tomorrow, and I cannot freaking wait.
Don't get our hopes too high.
I don't want to overblow it, but when the guy who created these characters says that, you just have to pay attention, right? You have to pay attention.
It's going to be good.
It'll be good. Yeah. All right.
This character is amazing. By the way, Genji, even if you suck at playing Genji, push through, because once you figure it out.
Oh, he's great.
Funnest character he's awesome. Of all time.
They're so much fun. Everybody in that game. I haven't found a character I hate yet. So it's going to be great. Agree.
Oh my God. I could talk about,
I know we could do it all day. We may end up having to do some, by the way. So I should mention this now. I haven't even really talked to you guys yet, but I want to do some specials, maybe one-offs for Overwatch as we get closer in a couple of weeks to the actual launch. I don't know what those will take the form of, little one-offs, some interviews with some people. I don't know, but we want to get all hyped for it. So watch for more content on the feed. All right. We got a quick phone call right here. Yo.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right.
Hey,
yes, sir.
That Facebook is telling me that young kid who's been crying is 32 now. Congratulations.
32. Holy crap. No, his 16th birthday is tomorrow. He gets his license, his braces off, and nothing else, boy. a copy of Overwatch was my gift to him this year. So.
I suspect there's been some dishonesty on the age field in Facebook when the account was created. I suspect.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're right. I think he may have been.
Or I mailed him some nudie magazines.
You know what it was? Because Facebook makes you got to be 13 or over or whatever. And he when we signed him up,
we let him do it.
Yeah, we let him do it early. What are you gonna do, Zuckerberg? Come get me. Come at me, bro. here's how you get into contact with us. You can call us at 801-471-0462 or email us theinstance@gmail.com. Got an email here about too much rating.
What's up, Instance crew?
And by email, I mean phone call.
This is Andre from the Area 52 server. And, a lot of people I've been playing WoW with and going to Black Desert. And they're talking about how much fun they're having playing the game, how much content there is. But no one's saying anything about rating. Wasn't it WoW, like, during the BC time and before? I think Blizzard has turned the game too much towards raiding. Because before, raiding was 6% of the population. And now everything's tuned towards raiding. It seems like we've gone towards that 6%. Everyone's left.
Okay, it's an interesting point. I'm not hearing too many people talk about Black Desert much, though, either. So I don't know if that means they're so into it that they're just not talking, or if that splash came and went. I don't know of any MMO that claims to have the most complete endgame that does not involve some form of Blizzard-like raiding content. If there is one, someone can tell me. I just don't know, and I haven't heard how compelling it is or if it's compelling enough to draw me into it. But the biggest other MMOs on the market feature some kind of endgame raiding type content, whatever they may call it. I didn't play Black Desert. I meant to give it a shot. Didn't dabble.
It got good reviews.
Yeah.
People seem to like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't speak to its longevity and why it can do that without rating. So maybe somebody out there can let us know. And I don't know if either of you had a chance to mess with it.
So it had zero rating in it?
He's saying. He says there's no rating content.
I mean, I don't think, there was a time World of Warcraft didn't have rating.
Yeah, that's true.
Didn't last that long, but like endgame was essentially like get a mount and.
I mean, it depends how you define raiding. Some people would tell you that current World of Warcraft raids aren't the real raids. It should be harder, or it should be 40 people, or I'm guessing that in Black Desert Online there is some max level content which might take the form of. More difficult instance dungeons, or it's just five people, but it's still more difficult. In Destiny, the quote unquote raiding is, I think, six. Yeah, it's six players. I've done it enough. I should know. So, and that's not, is it really a raid? I think the important thing is to have stuff to do at max level. And if Black Desert provides that, then cool. You don't necessarily need to have something that fits the definition of raid.
Yeah, there seems, so I'm looking at a video here called, its title is Black Desert Guild Raid Boss Battle, which sounds like a guild raid of some sort of boss, right? I can't tell from the video what's, I mean, it looks like they're all about ready to attack this giant molten dragon looking creature, and
might be a world boss type thing.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say. So if I had to guess, maybe it just comes in a different form than we're used to in WoW, or maybe they're taking liberties we haven't thought of, or I don't know. But but there's still something to do in that end game that isn't just running around and picking weeds or whatever you do in that game. I don't know. And listen, those who love that game, I am not diminishing your experience. I'm sure it's awesome. It got great reviews. I meant to play it. I may still. But I don't I don't know that they made any sort of concerted effort to say, all right, no raiding, because we want to be different.
Yeah. So there's a thread on Reddit that's 3 months old, and the person there is asking, will BDO ever have Black Desert Online? It's on the Black Desert subreddit. Yeah. Will it ever have real raids or dungeons? Because currently the world bosses are just Zerg fests, and the gameplay of the dungeon isn't actually doesn't actually seem that interesting. There were strong mobs, and so anyway, it seems like it doesn't have actual raids.
I think the point of the call though is really just, do you think there's too much of an emphasis on raiding in World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
And
that's a valid question, and I would say that yes. maybe to yes. Yeah, I'm closer to yes than I am to no, but I'm still kind of in the maybe camp, because there is a ton of players who like that. In fact, Ian brought this point up, or somebody did in a recent interview, and it may have been Greg even on Twitter, I don't remember, but somebody was saying, you know, when players come out and say, man, you guys really don't know what players want. Well, no, we don't know what every single player wants, because as it turns out, everybody wants something different. They all think they're on the same page, but they're not. Some people love this endgame raiding and Blizzard's focus on it. Some people wish it was a little less. Some people wish it was something else. Like, part of the fun... Oh, it was, Greg. Part of the fun and challenge, he says, was trying to address how to make the game work for as many possible people as possible. And that's just the math, man. That's, you know, you gotta come to grips with that you are not speaking for everybody when you want a feature or don't want a feature.
So... I agree with this, definitely, and, you know, they know the game better than we do. I still do think that there is, the raids are currently the only place you go when you want to do stuff endgame.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have become a little bit trivialized with the LFR, you know, system. And guilds that want to raid are going to, but some of the people that would have raided won't because of LFR. So I'm not saying they should get rid of LFR. That's the thing I use, and I love it because it allows me and many, many others to see the content I would not see otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, basically, it comes back to what we were discussing with Dills earlier, which is it would be nice to have alternative stuff to do at endgame that is, you know, the game path gear sort of guides you towards, and that I think is going to be taken care of by the keystones in the dungeons. Yeah. And, you know, world quests and other stuff. So
sure,
there's all sorts of stuff that can be done though. I mean, it does feel like at a certain point the emphasis shifted towards raiding because that was how you completed storylines, and so the LFR was essentially a way to allow everyone to see this storyline that was completed, because before it was this tiny percentage of the population that was actually getting to see the end of Molten Core and stuff like that, which was this epic finale, you know, or Ragnaros is, you know, dying and all this stuff. And people weren't getting to kind of experience that. So LFR made a lot of sense, right? Because you want everyone to be able to see the end of these epic storylines. But I think the problem is that it did water down the experience just a little bit, where now this is the only thing, and now the only thing is watered down. So I think one of the solutions too could be just be to expand what endgame really is. Because think about if crafting was brought back as something you actually went out and accomplished something in. You know, right now, like, crafting is I get up to max level in it by just sitting in my garrison and, you know, spamming a button for a little while. But what if you had to go out and find special mats that were at the end of these long quest lines, and then once you got that mat, you could do something that no one else could do, or there's all sorts of other things that can be done, which I think the game had at certain points where you had to run out and finish something that was hard to do that had nothing to do with raiding. And I think we've kind of gotten a little bit away from that, and that might be one of the reasons why it's a little frustrating for people, because, you know, the raiding is the only thing.
Yeah.
And we need more stuff that isn't raiding that feels like it's going to take me some time, and when I get it done, I have that sense of accomplishment that you get from raiding, which is, you know,
yeah,
it's a hard, a super... like I talked about this when I got Legend in Hearthstone, because I complained forever about the ladder system in Hearthstone and how it's just too grindy. It's just too grindy. But the fact is, when I actually ticked over to Legend, that was a really, really good feeling because I grinded so hard to get there, right?
Yeah.
And that's the sense of accomplishment that you don't get when it's too easy. And maybe people are like losing it now. So
yeah. No, but that's absolutely the difficulty in designing a system like this and a game like this, because you need difficult stuff in order for it to be rewarding. But at the same time, the difficult stuff is very frustrating for the people who don't get it. And it has been an issue in WoW for a long time. And they've tried to address it more and more and more. I don't know that it's necessarily, it needs to become everything has a hard version or everything becomes difficult to get. I don't think that's what you're saying at all. But some difficult things should exist. I guess there are some, but they're kind of inconsequential. And maybe we should have some difficult things that do matter and that only some people are going to get at this point to provide motivation. I guess what I'm trying to say is maybe design-wise, then they went a little bit overboard in the other direction and they're trying to address it the right way as time goes on, like not getting just straight back to what it was in vanilla or Burning Crusade, because it was definitely frustrating, but getting to the intent of what was there, but not with the way they were doing it necessarily, which was frustrating for many players.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but
totally.
No, it does for absolutely. Me,
so screw you people.
Well, the last time that I really grinded for something was when I made my Sky Golem. And I remember that feeling of trying to get it. And then when I finally had it, just flying around forever on that thing. And then since then, I don't think I've had any kind of thing that I said, I'm going to get this done.
Yeah.
And then it got me to log in every day and do something kind of boring and dumb, but I was always moving closer and closer to the end goal. And then I actually got to the end goal and felt that sense of accomplishment. We're kind of, that is one thing that is missing from the game. And raiding shouldn't be the only way to get that feeling.
I agree.
Do you remember the Nether Dragons that you got?
Yes.
Do the dailies on that little island like for 3 weeks
go click
straight.
The eggs.
Yeah, you had to do Quel'Thalas. You had to fly, do the flight run. You had to go out and kill the robot dudes. Like it was the same damn thing every day, but we did it. Because it was rewarding as hell on the other side.
By the way, the Nether Dragon looks stupid now.
Yeah, it does. I think we wouldn't do that again. I don't think that is.
Oh, Nether Drakes. Right. I forgot. Nether Drakes. Yes. Yeah. No, I did that one as well, and that was a huge pain in the ass. And I'm glad that I got it, but it's like three polygons. Anyway, Patrick, continue. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, I don't think even, let's say, you know, not everyone would do that kind of thing again, for sure. And I don't think we would, because we just don't have time for this kind of thing anymore. But some people would. Some people would like it. And maybe if they did it, they came at it a different way, it would be motivating for us again. For at this time, it was very, you know, the faction system in those old MMOs, and I'm including WoW, you know, 1.0 in that category. It was so dumb. Like the reputation, you would do the same quest over and over again to increase your reputation. And now it doesn't matter anymore. You still have reputation, but it doesn't really factor into your gameplay as much. But it was really dumb back then. And maybe they could bring back something like that. But for those Nether Drakes, you would do the same five quests over and over again every day for weeks. And that was what you would do in the game. I don't think it would work like that anymore. But maybe those, you know, affixes in the keystones provide that difficulty while keeping the gameplay fresh. So,
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I have fond memories of that, but I don't think I want to go do that again. you know.
It's like molten core. It's exactly the same thing. You have fond memories. When they give you a chance to go do it, you do it twice, and you're like, that sucks.
I mean, you can go do them right now. It's still in the game. Like, you can go down there and get your Nether Drake the way we had to then. If you all don't know what we're talking about and you came to the game late, that's all a thing you can still do. The question is, should new content mimic any of that? And I'm not sure about that. Thanks for the call, dude who called. 801-471-0462 is the phone number. You can leave voicemails there, and you can send your emails, of course, to us. theinstance@gmail.com. That signals the end of our broadcast day. However, I always like to give everybody a chance to talk about some other stuff that got going on. Let's start with Japan, since you're so far in the future. Patrick, what's going on? Where can people find more of what you have to offer?
Not Patrick on Twitter and Facebook. And the shows I do, I guess, Overwatchers. If you're excited about Overwatch, please go listen to Overwatchers at amove.tv. That's Garrett Wandrell's website. And we do the show there. It's super fun. And Pixels, general video game show where we talk about the news from the past couple of weeks, analyze, understand, and summarize. And that's available at FrenchSpin.com. Everything's at Not Patrick anyway, so go check that out.
I'm going to try hard to get Terpster on sometime in the week so he can tell me what the hell happened to that movie. We'll let you guys know how that goes. Dills, what's happening on your end?
Check out twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF. Streaming a lot these days, although I missed the last couple days because I had some weird headache. I think I've now lived in Austin long enough that I've got the cedar fever, they call it.
Oh, what is that? Because
apparently you get allergies because they have a lot of cedar trees.
Yeah, I heard about
that. And allergies get real bad here. So, but it didn't affect me when I moved here. And I think it might be starting to affect me because I noticed, too, I was like chewing on something.
Yeah.
And I felt all congested just from like it was like I was chewing on gum or something like that. And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
No.
Well, the season's changed. It's probably because of spring.
Or it's Overwatch withdrawal.
It could be that, too. Could be that, too. But we're going to get back on the horse tomorrow. I got a lot of Hearthstone I got to get done.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing a bunch of Hearthstone stuff tomorrow. And then probably some Diablo, maybe even some World of Warcraft beta stuff. Who knows?
Yeah.
So that's twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF. The YouTube channel is live, youtube.com/WillyDillsSF. There's a bunch of DreamHack videos. A whole trilogy of DreamHack videos, in fact.
Nice.
So you can go check those out. And if you are in the Florida area or you'd like to go to Florida to hang out with people from AMOVE, CreateCon is going on Orlando July 30th. There's tickets available. The VIP tickets are gone, but there are still regular tickets available. There's going to be Live Angry Chicken, Night Attack. Let's talk about Star Wars.
Will you Americans stop doing stuff in America, please?
Don't worry, we're doing Finnish Con next year, Patrick. Finnish Con.
All right, cool. Happen. Excellent. I like it.
You just got to do a con too, man. Yeah, yeah. It's like everyone's got their own con now. Yeah. So come on out to CreateCon. It's a good time.
It's the long con.
And
all right.
Should be a lot of fun.
Dills, we should get together, do a little Chromie this week. I have this goal. It's a useless goal. There's no way I'm going to reach it, yet I have it anyway, where I want to try to get that mount in Hero League before the changes in Heroes.
Oh, God. You got to get up to what? Rank 20?
I think it's
30.
39, is it? Oh, not 39. Sorry, 29.
Oh, yeah, 29. I guess it was 30 or 29.
Higher than 30?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
That could be done.
I know, but I'm setting my expectations in the realm of realism, but
just play only good here. Just play Muradin.
Yeah.
And only to Muradin. Like a hero you're super good at.
Yeah.
Just play that.
I like.
What if I suck at Muradin?
Then don't play Muradin. Well, I play a lot of Muradin and Jaina.
You're good at.
You give me Jaina, Muradin, or Vala, and I can kill it. But other than that, yeah, that's what I keep trying to do. But when I, you know, you get in these teams, those are all being tryhards, and like, no, be this. Sure. I'm like, F off.
I'm
being Muradin, then we lose. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. thank you all for listening and being here. We really appreciate it. As always, don't forget you can find the show at theinstance.net. Big thanks to Alpha Geek Radio, who simulcasts this show in both audio and video when we do the live show. Live shows for the next little while are going to be Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Mountain Time, because that gets Patrick back on the show, which is always really nice. Instance show, Scott Johnson, Willie Dills, _T, and Not Patrick on Twitter. More shows like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Brr.
Town Council raises stink over privy privileges. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. The small village of Darkshire has long been a hotbed of anti-druidic sentiment, due to the members of the local church believing that worshipping nature as the druids do is a sin against the light. One would think that the town's distance from Darnassus would make this issue a moot point, but many druids pass through the area on their way to the Twilight Grove portal to the Emerald Dream. The town council's initial effort to ban druids from visiting Darkshire failed when the king declared their ordinance null and void. But this past week, the council tried again to take a stand against druidism. Claiming that the local children were in danger from wild animals, the town mandated that all visiting druids must revert to elven form before visiting the village common bathroom. This new law brought forth outrage from visiting druids who protested outside the town hall in their animal forms. One balanced druid said, "I may look like an owlbear, but I am an elf, not a beast. I use this form to defend Azeroth from the Iron Horde on Draenor. This is the thanks I get?" When I asked a guardian tank druid if this law was about protecting children or discriminating against druids, she fixed me with ursine eyes and posed her own question. "Do I have to go in the woods?" Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Fall in, soldiers. This is the Rated Battleground, and I'm Ace Lana, your Battleground Commander, and this is your Tactical Minute.
Let the battle begin.
Whether you are the leader or a soldier in the ranks, the best way to bring a team together is to communicate. Oftentimes, the only thing that separates a Rated Battleground from a random battleground is your level of communication. As a team, being clear and concise so that comms can remain open is essential. That way, incoming callouts as well as leader instructions can be received. With clear comms, objectives and plan changes can be seen, heard, and followed. Also, don't forget about those macros and raid warnings. A raid warning that has been macroed is a great tool to convey what you want to your entire team.
If you have any questions or comments about this Tactical Minute, you can get a hold of me at Winstead84 on Twitter. Or come join us on the Rated Battleground podcast, found on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podbean.
Now here are your orders. You are to log in, queue up, and start communicating with your team, leaving your enemies speechless.
Greetings, gamers. This is Mewcow, a resident expert on a common gamer condition called altitis.
With Warlords of Draenor winding down, we gather gold from the Garrison Inn. If you aren't logging onto your army of garrisons to grind for your alts, you might be missing out on a way to make them useful for the future. With the next expansion approaching, it is a good idea to start preparing your alts for the journey ahead. If you don't mind a bit of dungeon and mission grinding, you can make a rather lucrative amount of gold with an inn. Once you have your level 1 inn, you can go on special quests for caches of items and gold in dungeons. These caches will also contain a bit of garrison resources and Apexis crystals, useful for now, but not so much in Legion. After upgrading to level 3, your inn will cause lucrative missions to appear in your mission table, often for several hundreds in gold. Employ the services of the Headhunter, who can give you a new follower every week with a gold multiplier, and you can easily earn thousands. Now is the time to get ready. You wouldn't want to show up at the Legion expansion coverless, because it may be the demons, not Illidan, explaining how.
You are not prepared.
If you have questions, tips, or want to discuss the topic further, find us on Twitter at AltitisNet, and show notes can be found on altitis.net. On behalf of the Alt Army, we hope you find this information useful in the treatment of your altitis.
Oh, Ludra the Mage here.
And I am the Knight.
Ben, you're Ben the Mage. Even though we argue about it, it is the one thing we have.
The one thing that I have is justice.
Ben, have you been playing Batman again?
No.
Okay, you've totally been playing Batman.
Batman away!
While Ben...
Batman!
...is off fighting crime in the great world of Draenor, are driving around, or who knows, make sure to check out Battle Pets number 85. I'm an adult! Where we talk about Warcraft news, boss battles, and Battle Pet add-ons.
I know what you're doing, Joker. You're trying to trick me.
I'm not the Joker, Ben.
That's what someone pretending not to be the Joker would say.
Oh, you know what, fine? I am totally the Joker! It is on!
Oh no, wait, what did I do? No, that can't be your origin story!
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.